Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
We're in a series called Be Rich. And how many of you guys were here last Sunday? Did you enjoy that message? All right. Well, before I go into my message today, I just want to say how much I'm thankful for this nation. As you know, I was imported here. I wasn't originally born here. But I'm so glad that God predestined in his good heart for my family to be here. This is the best nation in the world. And a lot of us complain a lot because something is not perfect. Actually, we're taught to complain a lot and grumble in school and colleges. But just let me just tell you this. This is the best nation in the world. If you knew where I grew up, as a child, you didn't eat meat. Over here, you're going to eat a lot of hamburgers. But only dad could eat meat because he works in a mine. And my dad worked in a mine. And we just didn't have enough food. So all we ate was cabbage, potatoes, and pasta. That's all kind of what we ate there. We were always running short on food. And I've been in other countries since then. I've been in Egypt. I've been in Latin America. And we are the most blessed nation in the world. We have more than we need. We are just rich. Most people here are rich. And I'm just so glad. I'm glad to be an American. In 2008, I believe, we became United States citizens. And that was the best day of my life. After marrying my wife and getting to know Jesus and my kids being born, you know, on top there. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're in part two. Let's open to our key scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Paul writes to his protege, Timothy. Timothy is a pastor of Ephesians church. This church is growing big since Paul started it. It started with about 12 men, if you read Acts 19, and women, obviously. But it grew, and Timothy was pastoring. He was a young guy pastoring this Ephesians church. And so I think Timothy had a problem with rich people in his church. And so he probably complained to Paul by writing to him and saying, hey, what do I do? These rich people are giving me a hard time. They want to control everything. They think they know better, blah, blah, blah. And so Paul writes to Timothy, and this is what he says. Command those who are rich in this present world. That's kind of a harsh tone. Command. Don't ask. Don't beg. Command. Not to be arrogant, because rich people have a tendency to be arrogant. Nobody commands rich people, number one, because they're the bosses usually. They're usually the one telling people what to do, okay? It's not intentional, but rich people become arrogant after a while. They think that their money is what makes them better than everybody else, smarter than everybody else. They think that it's their money that gives them higher IQ than everybody else. But just because you're rich, it doesn't mean that you are better, smarter, have higher IQ. It just means that God has given you a certain gift. You understand how to deal with money. I know a lot of people who have not graduated high school or college who are super rich. Not because they have a high IQ. They just have a money sense. Okay? And I believe that money sense could be taught. So if you're today sitting here and thinking, I don't have the money sense. I'm bad with money. I don't care about money. It could be taught. Okay? We're going to talk about that today. But they're arrogant. So Paul says, tell them not to be arrogant. Imagine coming to a rich person for Timothy, a young preacher, maybe 25, maybe 20, maybe 23, saying, hey, rich person. Stop being so arrogant. And they usually say, do you know how much I give? And so he says, stop being arrogant and don't put your hope in wealth. Because what? We talked last week, hope has a way of shifting. It shifts from vertical to horizontal. And but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So God is not cheap. God does not treat you cheaply, if that's the word. And God wants to richly provide, and He wants you to enjoy. There's been this theology in dark ages that God wants you to be poor, and He doesn't want you to enjoy life. He wants you to be wretch, and that's not true, because what would you do with this scripture? God, who richly provides for everything for enjoyment. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, so I'm not saying everybody should be rich. But I do believe the Psalm of David, when he said this, "Lord, don't give me poverty and don't give me riches. Keep me in the middle class somewhere." Here's why he says, because if I'm poor, I might go steal. And if I'm rich, I might forget you and put my hope in my riches instead of you. He says, just give me what I need. And that's my prayer. My prayer has been that too. God, I don't care so much about how rich. I don't want to be poor. Don't want to be whatever. But give me just enough so I can focus still on you and not forget you, because I have so much money. And my hope is in my wealth. Okay, we got to get through this. This is not even a message. This is just a little bit. And I'm hoping to have a shorter sermon, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But you guys already made it to church today. Like, some of you drove like 20 minutes. Some of you drove like 45 minutes. I mean, you didn't come here just for a 5-minute sermon. I know you came here for good worship, good preaching, and great coffee. Right there. Somebody loves their coffee. Or just, yeah. Let's go to verse 18. Wow, again. Command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. That's an awesome key scripture. But we're not going to talk about that scripture today. How can you give? How can you be a blessing when you're always in debt? Mic is cutting out, I think. You're getting it? Oh, okay, that's cool. They're fixing it. If not, I got a voice. I got a trumpet, baby. I actually used to play tuba and trumpet. So, anyway. How can you be generous and willing to share when you are up to eyeballs in debt? It's hard. When you can't even pay your rent, or you're 2 months behind on your rent or car payment, it's kind of hard to think about giving to other people and being generous. And so today I'm going to take a little detour and talk to you today about how to be debt-free. Did you know that God wants us to be debt-free? Here's what the Bible says. Owe no man anything but to love him. So here's what God says. You shouldn't owe anybody anything. And we live in a borrow, borrow, borrow kind of a nation. We have credit cards. We have everything on credit. We live above what we make. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, because we were there. About 7 years ago, we were into debt, 100+ thousand in debt. When Tanya and I first got married, we didn't know how to use money. Nobody taught us. Okay, we didn't have a church that taught us about money. We didn't have Financial Peace University. Okay, and so we bought ours we couldn't afford. I remember Tanya saw this little luxury SUV, and she's like, I want it. And, you know, we're married first year, and if your honey wants a luxury SUV, you buy her a luxury SUV. First year of marriage, come on. Got to be a good husband. Besides, we always do what our women tell us to do anyway. So we went and bought. We actually had a great car. Yeah. All right. Let's change.
One, two. Okay. We actually had a great car, and we traded it in debt-free. It was paid for. The car we had was paid for. It was actually like a really nice luxury car. But we wanted an SUV, so we went and we got ourselves $20,000 in debt, plus our car. All right? And then later, I decided, well, I want a new truck too. She has a luxury car. I want a semi-luxury truck. And so I went and bought me a brand new. I didn't even know how much it cost. I just knew how much the payment was going to be. Man, those guys were so good at billing up there. Man, they got me signing papers, and when I walked out of the door, I went back to ask how much did I pay for the truck. I didn't know how much. I just knew how much payment was going to be. I didn't know any better. Then we bought some business equipment because we had a small business, and we bought some small business equipment, and that was all on loan. And Tanya loved shopping a lot. She's going to preach one of these Be Rich series, and she's going to talk to you about budget, which is her enemy, but she's conquering it, okay? So, ladies, you don't want to miss it, okay? And guys, too, because some of you guys, yeah, anyway. And so we were so much in debt where they started shutting off our phones. We were constantly paying overdraft fees. Because we were spending money we didn't have in the bank. And now I have an app. So if there was ever overdraft, I would immediately know that there is an overdraft. But in those days, they would send you a letter like a week later. And on a $3 check that you paid McMuffin and McDonald's, you're paying plus 40 or 35, whatever it is. I think it was 40 before. Now it's 35. You're paying $35 extra. So now you're paying $38 instead of $3. But you didn't just write one check. You wrote a whole bunch of checks. And so you were always in debt. Our phone would get shut off. They came actually one winter and was ready to shut off our water, but it froze. So they couldn't open that you couldn't close that little thing. I think we had a pile of snow. So, and that's how we were in horrible. And you know, that takes a toll on your marriage. How many of you know a lot of divorces? Actually, the biggest fight people have in their marriage usually is about money. Okay? Because when there's not enough money, there's so much stress on the marriage. So God, I think He knows what He's talking about when He says, "Oh, no man anything but to love Him." We got to the point where we were like, God, we're givers. We give to our church. How come we're always broke? And God says, go look at your income. And every year when I looked, it was growing. So it wasn't, why aren't you blessing us, God? God says, go look at your tax return. Every year there was more and more. But every year we were broker and had more debt and more debt. And later we were so bad with money. And the reason I'm sharing this with you, so you don't think you're the only one. Okay? Sometimes I'm wondering, should I share? They'll stop respecting me. But then God says, you know what? Whatever. They don't respect you. They won't respect you anyway. And so I'm going to just share. And then because we were so bad with money, we got behind in income taxes. You know, when you own a business, you have to pay income taxes. They don't pay you taxes back. You have to pay. And if you ever had a business, you know what I'm talking about. You don't plan for it. You spend it all. And then at the end of the year, you do your taxes. And then the bill comes in. And you're like, what? And we were so behind on that too. So we were over $100,000 plus our home. We're not even counting our home. And so we're just like, what are we going to do? Constant argument, constant fighting. I mean, the biggest thing we've always fought on and what made our marriage horrible is money. And the phrase that I had that I always used, I don't care about money, which is the stupidest phrase you can ever use. That's dumb. And now I do, but I actually did care about money. But the way I was spending it, I loved it. But the way I made myself feel better and sounded politically correct or even godly, you know, I don't care about money. That's foolish. Here's what the Bible says. Let me just give you. Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. Proverbs 21:20, TEV translation. That's the Bible. All right? Can I read that again? Because that was me. Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. Proverbs 21:20, TEV translation. Write it down. Another one, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but a hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Proverbs 21:5, NLT. And then Romans 13:8 says this, don't withhold repayment of your debts. Proverbs 3:27 said, let no debt remain outstanding. Bible has to say a lot about money. Why? Because our heart is so attached to our money. Our hearts are so attached to our money. After 10 years of debt, we got tired of it. And we started really like crying out to God. We started saying, God, how come we're in debt? You need to help us. You promised that if we give, you will bless. And God led me to a verse. And this verse is in Proverbs 1:20. If we could put it up. Wisdom shuts out. Wisdom shouts in the street. She cries out in the public square. You're like, what is that all about? And we were crying out to God to get us debt free. And God says, I give this universe a tool. I give humanity this tool. It's called wisdom. This wisdom thing is not a secret thing. It's a tool available to believer, unbeliever, God hater, atheist, agnostic, a Muslim, a Christian, it's available to everybody. Just like gravity affects everybody, wisdom affects everybody. And here's the truth about wisdom. Wisdom shouts in the streets. Some of you are like, what does that mean? Wisdom shouts in the street. We also asked, what do you mean, God? Wisdom shouts in the street. God says that the information that you need to be debt free is out there and it's shouting. The information, the knowledge, the experience, the principles that you need are on the street, available to everybody, and they're shouting loud. She cries out in a public square. And I've always heard this guy talk about money, but I thought he was ungodly. Because I was taught in the church that you shouldn't talk about money. This guy's name is Dave Ramsey. So when I would listen to talk radio, I would always go and skip him. And actually, I had this car that my AM radio, it worked, but it wouldn't show me what channel I'm in. And so I was looking for radio channels, and I would skip, and I would get to him, and I'd be like, man, what is he talking about money all the time? He calls himself a Christian. And I found this guy named Dave Ramsey who was shouting out there on the radio sphere. He was trying to help me. He was trying to help everybody how to get debt free. But I was closed. I was so spiritual that God couldn't get through. Sometimes people act spiritual, but it's not spiritual at all. Because spiritual works with wisdom. Spiritual works with gravity. If you're spiritual and you can say, I can walk on water, I can defy gravity because I got Jesus. Let me just tell you, if you walk off a three-story building, you will break something. Spiritual works with the laws that God has established in this world. And so we started checking out this guy named Dave Ramsey, and we bought the book. We bought the book called Total Money Makeover. We sell it actually in the lobby. That's how much I believe in it. Can I tell you the truth? I haven't read the whole thing. but it changed my life. All you got to do is read like one third of it, and it will change your life. All you got to do is read one third of it, and most of it is stories. How cool is that? It's like reading a Bible. You just have to read. No. Kidding. It changed our life. And so today I want to talk to you about how we got debt free, so you can get debt free as well. I think God loves us more than we know. And he's like, hey, guys, I gave this tool called wisdom. And if you get this wisdom, you can have honor. You can have money. What is it the Bible says? If you get wisdom, you get everything else that you need. And a lot of us are just like, wisdom, I'll just pray about it on the way to work. And most of our prayers are prayers of fear, not prayers of faith. And God doesn't hear, or God doesn't respond so much to the prayer of fear. He responds to prayer of faith. Our prayers are like this: God, please help me pay my bills. Why aren't you answering? Because that's prayer of fear. That's not prayer of faith. God wants you to pray, God, bless my finances a year ahead. That's prayer of faith. But see, we don't want to sow. We just want to reap. But God set up a principle in this universe. Whatever you sow, you will reap more of. Amen. And so I just want to give you a few points on why you should get debt free and how you should get debt free. Now, we really want you to come to this class, Financial Peace University. Okay? It costs us a lot as this church to do that. We're actually, but come and be a part of that. Number one, write this down if you want to be debt free. You need to know where your money go. I know that's not proper English. I know that. It's not my accent. You need to knoweth where your money goeth. You need to know where your money is going. Okay? Why? And here's what we did. Here's the notebooks that we used to know where money goes. This is Tanya's right here. She has her name on it, and this is mine. The first thing we did to be debt free, we started writing everything every day that we spend money on. So I would drive up in the morning to Burger King or McDonald's to pick up my breakfast, and I would have to write what I bought and how much it cost. Not what I bought, just where and how much. I would go to the gas station, pick up a drink and seeds, and I would write down. And when I would forget, I would write down. And by the end of the week, I was shocked. Actually, by the end of the day, how much money I spent each day on nothing. I could have gotten water from home or make Kool-Aid at home or something, or iced tea. But guess what? I would spend like a lot of money on a gas station. So I'd be driving around doing bids or whatever. I would stop by at the gas station, pick something up, get me an ice cream sandwich, get me some candy, some anything. You know, anytime I would get a big job, I would reward myself, you know, go to Dairy Queen, pick up a little ice cream sundae, you know, just. And I was shocked how much money we were spending, and Tanya was too. And a lot of my money was going towards food. I wasn't really buying anything, but I was spending tons of money every day on just junk food. And that revealed. So you need to know where your money goes. So did Tanya. Was it hard for you to do? Come a second over here. Come and just tell us how hard it was for you to do, because we want to know. Give Tanya a hand.
In our situation, I was the spender. You know how in every situation there's the saver and then there's the spender? I was the spender. And we started this whole journey, I think, because of me, because I had a problem with shopping, and it got bad. And one day, just out of curiosity, Pastor Alex counted up how much I spent at the mall. And it was a number that I'm not going to tell you because I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of it. And for 17 years ago, for, you know, 15 years ago, it was a big number. It was way too much. And I was shocked. I was shocked myself because I didn't realize that's how much I was spending. I felt like I'm just going to buy a t-shirt there, pair of jeans there, you know, shoes there. And so he said, okay, we need to do this. We need to know how much you're spending. And I'm going to do this with you. And so, like, this was hard. But when he put the facts in front of my face and showed me how much I am spending uncontrollably, I was like, okay, we do need to do this. And so
you were fighting me.
I was. I hated this whole idea until we read the book. Yeah. The book, guys. I mean, if you're married to a spender, don't fight with them. Read a book together. Because we would fight until we read the book, and then Dave knows what he's talking about, right? I mean, forget about my husband. Dave Ramsey knows what he's talking about. And so, talking about the hard part, you know, I could lie to him, right? So I could take this notebook and, like, minimize everything or, like, skip some things. But at this point, I was not doing this for him anymore. I was doing this for myself. And you can't lie to yourself. You just can't. I was so many times tempted to, like, you know, I went to the mall and I just bought some mascara. I mean, seriously, it's an essential. Like, you can't live without mascara, okay? You don't need to write it down. It's mascara. Yeah, write it down. I mean, every, you know, piece of gum, everything about it. And it was so hard. And like you said, Pastor Alex, by the end of the week, I was shocked. But I was so happy that I was not the only one. That's what I was going to tell you, that he thought it's going to show us how much I spend. But we found out that we both spend just in different places.
Thank you. You need to know where your money goes. Here's three reasons why you need to know where your money goes. Reason number one. You need to know where your money goes so you know where your heart really is. Okay? Matthew 6:21. Says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can say till you're blue in the face that you love God more than money and you don't care about money. But let me look at your bank statement, your spending statement, and I'll tell you exactly where your heart belongs to. For example, for me, it was a lot of junk food. So if you look at my bank statement, gas station, Burger King's, all kinds of, and I spent a lot of money on food, and I didn't even need to. So my real God was food. If your bank statement shows me that you love entertainment, you spend money on entertainment, then your God is your entertainment. You can't serve two masters. Whoever you give money to, that's who you serve. Maybe you serve shopping. You love your shopaholics. That becomes your God then, your functional God. Help me out. What else? Maybe your car, maybe your God is spending on your car or your toys. Guys, maybe your guns. You know, family has no food, but you have many guns. So many. Who are you going to fight? I mean, one or two, that's cool, but we just love collecting those guns. And listen, I'm fine if you're doing financially well and you have extra guns, perfect. But if you can't pay your bills, don't buy a gun, man. An extra one, I mean. Have one for protection for your family, but whatever. Anyway, when you use something like this, you will begin to see where your money goes. You can figure out who your God really is. Number two, reason number two why you need to know where your money goes. Bible says that you should know the state of your flocks. Proverbs 27:23. Watch this. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. This was totally opposite of my mentality. I don't care about my money. See, in those days, they didn't have banks, so they would have to put their money into flocks, and then they could sell a sheep or a goat or a camel or a donkey, and they could buy something else, like Dougie does up here. He puts his money in his flocks. In the cattle, right? Is that okay for me to say? All right, cool. And when you have flock, you have to know their state. Every day you go, right? Make sure they're healthy. Make sure it's clean. Make sure they have food. Make sure they have everything. Money is the same way. You got to make sure you know the state of your flock. I remember doing our taxes at the end of the year or in the beginning of a new year. And then I found out that there was like some kind of a payment, which we found out was a scam, that was being withdrawn every month from our account. But because we didn't look at our bank statements, you know what happened? We missed out on that scam. So we went to the bank and we're like, hey, can you remove the scam? And they're like, we can do it for the last 90 days, but we're not going to remove it for the last year and a half. Be sure to know the condition of your bank account. Why should you know the condition of your bank account? So you know how much you can spend. So I've got tired of paying overdraft fees, aren't you? Tired of paying overdraft fees because I didn't care about money. I loved money, but I said I didn't care about them. Really, I didn't care about management of money, but I loved the money because I was spending it more than I was making. And so number two is to know the state of your flock. And number three, there might be a leak in your boat. If you're a business owner, what if somebody's stealing from you? How would you know? If you don't care about your money, right? What if a bank is screwing you? What if, I don't know, what if you got to know the state of your flock? Well, God will take care of it. God gave you wisdom, right? So you got to know it. Got to know the state of your flock. That's biblical. Don't be so spiritual that you're no earthly good. Did you know that your physical is still spiritual? You were created out of nothing. If you divide a cell to the atom and atom divide even more, there's energy. That's all it is. Right? You were created by the word of God. You came into existence out of nothing. And so you are already spiritual. We're like, no, this is physical and that's spiritual. Everything is spiritual. If you think about it, God created it out of nothing with his word. Everything is spiritual. Even the bad things that God will eventually destroy, those are spiritual too. I'm yelling. Why am I yelling? I just love you guys and I want to convince you to get out of debt. Okay, it's not because I want to yell at you. That's how I naturally do it. I'm not angry. Well, maybe a little. Maybe I wanted to be at the lake today, but just today. No, I couldn't miss this. Actually, my kids wanted to be at the lake, but I was like, nope, we're going to church. All right. Want to know where your treasure is? Look at your bank statement. You will know where your treasure is. The second thing we need to do, we needed to put all of our monthly bills and put them in order. And when we found out how much bills we had, I remember fighting. This is imagine after 10 years of fighting about money, our marriage was like on a thin thread. You don't hate your spouse. You don't hate your husband, ladies. Wives, you don't hate your man. It's that money stress that caused so much problems. And some of you are like, it's not us. Well, praise God, but money causes a lot of stress in marriages. And so we're fighting through this period. It's awkward. We're not really talking. We're just on the edge of it. And I said, well, what can we cut out of our bills? And we had a Dish Network. And I worked, so I didn't care too much about Dish Network. But my wife, she liked to watch her Christian channels and The View. To throw that in there. That's not, anyway. And so we had to cancel Dish Network. And then we had to cut out a few other things because we wanted to be debt free. Number two, what we started to do, we started an emergency fund. We learned it from wisdom, and wisdom came from Dave Ramsey. Emergency fund is important because as soon as you start trying to get debt free, an engine goes bad on your car. As soon, I promise you guys, as in 2010, when we tried to get debt free, like within 2 months, Tanya's luxury SUV, one cylinder went bad, and it was more to replace the engine than the car was worth. Can I tell this story, please? One day, we know that she's driving with a bad cylinder, has no power. This SUV has no more power because one cylinder is bad out of six. I'm at the church here at the office. I think it's still cold, maybe. Tanya drives up on another SUV, brand new blue SUV. I'm like, what'd you do? She's like, no, I'm not buying it. But I just went to check it out, you know, and they could give us this great deal. It's amazing. Remember that? She's like, let me just take you for a ride. You know, she's using that sales pitch on me. Let me just take you for a ride. True story, guys. So I sit in the car. We're driving, and I'm like conflicted. We just made a final commitment to be debt free. And here comes the devil. Messing with our car. And so now we have to buy a new one. And so we're fighting about it again. And you were wanting to get that blue car, that blue SUV. And I was like, okay, if we don't do this now, we'll never do it. We'll always be in debt. And so I love my wife, and I had to say no to her. Ouch. I had to say no. And she was looking at me with those big eyes. Puppy eyes. She's looking at me. She's like tears in her eyes. I can't believe you're not buying me this car, because till then we're just buying stuff we need or we want. And the dealer is looking at me like, can't believe you're such a bad husband not buying your wife a car she wants, blah blah blah, you know. And I'm walking away like this, looking over my shoulder. Honest, true story. See, I have a photographic almost memory, and so I remember everything. So I remember all these details. And and so she drove me back, dropped me off, and finally her car goes bad. After that, we're like, okay, so what are we going to do? The car doesn't drive anymore. We look on Craigslist, and we were able to afford a $1,500 car. Going from luxury, $50,000 car, to $1,500 Mazda 2000. No, yeah, 1998 Mazda Protege. It would be like X3, four-door, with a fender bender in front and no hubcap in front. We go, and it's winter. I still remember there's salt on the ground. When you drive a luxury car, you can't feel the rocks hitting the bottom of your car. When we drove this car, you can feel sand. From the road hitting the bottom of your car. And we bought this car for $1,800. I know that. $1,800, not $1,500, I know. $1,800. And Tanya started driving it. I was still driving my nice pickup because it didn't break yet, right? And I had payments on it. So she's driving it. And some of you are new here, so you don't know this, but she gets invited to preach. She teaches sometimes at women events. And so she gets invited to teach at this Minneapolis women event. And these are rich women. They all drive Mercedes, Range Rovers. They drive BMW SUVs. I mean, they're rich ladies. And so they do these women galas. You know, they get together and they invite a speaker. And they probably looked at our Facebook. We had nice cars, right? So they invited us. I don't know, Tanya. And Tanya says she goes to this event on her Mazda 98 Mazda Protege with a fender bender. She parks far away. She's hoping nobody's going to see her in all these nice cars. And she goes and teaches the women, talks to the women. And then at the end of this event, they're like, let me walk you to your car. You know, they go to this church where the pastor has his bags carried, you know, to his car and stuff. And so she's like, no, don't walk me too much. We don't do that in our church. They're like, no, we insist. We're going to walk you. And you said that was the most embarrassing moment of your life. But that broke what people thought about you. So that was a blessing. So she walks to this car. They walk her to this car. These rich women, they sit her down. They look at her. I don't think you ever got invited back. Or maybe one more time. I think you have one more. Yeah, I went with you that time. And Tanya's like, I sat in that car all red, all like sweaty, and drove off. And from that, she stopped caring what people. And for 2 years, you drove that car. And we sold it for actually more than we bought it for. I think I sold it for 22 after 2 years driving it. That was awesome. Yeah. And Mazda, man, that was like a blessing. We actually had pictures of it, but I didn't want to dig through the, you know, through the everything. And anyway, what was I talking about? Start an emergency fund. That's what I... Anyway, stories are better, right? Start an emergency fund. We started the emergency fund and rarely had to use it after that. Because we cut down our expenses. We had no payment on that car. The gas mileage on that car was incredible. It was like 30 miles per gallon. So you drove it for two years. With my pickup, I had a 2008 Toyota Tundra. I love that red pickup. And after 2 years, I bought it in 2008. And 2010, I put it on Craigslist. And I said, okay, we're going to be debt-free. We're going to be debt-free. And my dad had a Ford, green Ford F-150, 92 maybe? 93, yeah. It had holes in it. Really, it has rust holes in it. And I drove that pickup. You know, at first people say, Pastor driving a nice car. He must be stealing from church. And the second thing people said, Pastor is driving junk cars. I think they're gambling. Honest truth. I've had that person say that to me. Why are you driving such bad cars, Pastor? Are you gambling or something? Do you have an addiction? Okay, so who cares what people say? It's true. You know who said it too, Andre. You know who said it. You were here. But we got debt free. We paid our tax bill. And it took about a year something, year and a half maybe, to get debt free. Pay our tax bills because cars were sold. Everything was gone. We're driving these junkers, and before you know it, we started paying off the smallest debt to the biggest. And what I've learned is, imagine if you made $40,000 a year or $30,000 a year, right? You made $30,000 a year, and you had no debt. How would you feel? Great, you'd be able to do stuff, right? And that's what we've always lived. Before we became debt-free, we always lived on more than we made. After we got debt-free, everything we made, we gave to God, we saved a little, and we spend. So listen, we don't spend less than we did then, except the money that we do spend, we own. Oh, that's deep. If you just hold on for a year or two and get debt free, everything you make, and you'll be making more in 2 years than you make now, you can spend and go on vacations. Amen. And what people don't realize that you sacrifice a little so you can live like no one else. Sacrifice now so you can live like no one else later. Do what everybody does now and be broke always. That's half of my message, people. Page one. Done. Page two. Okay, next week. Perfect. I'm going to youth camp, so I'll have fun there, and then I'll come and preach to you this message that I already have. So, are you blessed today by this message? Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. God doesn't want you to be a fool. God wants you to be wise. If you're a young couple today, let me just tell you that even if your parents were rich, we all start poor. We all start with nothing. But we can use the principles in this word, and you'll learn them on this Financial Peace University. Because Dave is much better than what I can do. He's expert in the money thing. You can live a life of less stress, of more peace. Because when your bills are not paid, if your house is 2 months behind or rent is months behind, you can pray for peace from God, but it's kind of hard to get peace when you are always in, the debtors are calling. So would you let God today break the curse of debt? Because I believe it's a curse of debt over our life. Bible says it. I actually don't believe it. Bible says it. Bible says the borrower is a slave to a lender. God wants to set us free, not only with our addictions, not only with our anger and fear. God wants to set us free when it comes to money. Next week we're going to talk about other things, saving, investing, and other things. But today I just want to pray for you that if you're willing, because it all started with us, with brokenness, saying, God, we don't know any better. We're stupid, like it says over here. Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get. That's us, God. Please, we're your kids, just the stupid ones. You love us, but we just make dumb mistakes. Please help us. And see, Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give you that wisdom. And don't take no for an answer. Cry out to him and say, God, give me your wisdom. Your word says you will. Give me the wisdom for our finances so I will have enough to give. Just like it says in Timothy, command them to be generous. Command them to share. I want to do that, God. Help me get that free. In Jesus' name. And if that's the cry of your heart today, God heard it. He's going to come in. He's going to help you. Now you're going to come to the classes. And God is going to be there to teach you. Okay? And you will never be the same. If you're in your 20s, if you live till 80, that's a long time to be in debt and stress. But imagine if you're in 20 and